Hello, everyone. Before we get started with tonight's episode, real quick, wanted to get a few plugs in. Number one, be sure to check out PhilSingerGames.com. They've been releasing a lot of names for a lot of new talent that they're putting out in card form later in the year. They're doing a fan contest right now where you can actually design your own character to be utilized in the game, which is pretty fantastic.
Which we need to work on, by the way.
That's true. We got homework. So definitely go check out PhilSingerGames.com, as well as you can also find PhilSinger t-shirts on FullyGimmick.com. You can pick yourself up a vintage wolf shirt.
Goddamn right.
Or PhilSinger logo shirts. So that's at FullyGimmick.com. And additionally, October 7th at 8 o'clock in Newport Richey at the Gulfview Event Center, we are helping to put on Punk Pro Wrestling's Walk Among Us, which is going to be a really, really fantastic show. We've gotten a lot of input in terms of a card and talent to bring in, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. Tickets are $15. Doors open at 7:30. So if you're anywhere in the Florida state or tri-state area, even if you're in Connecticut, I don't give a shit.
Right.
Come drive down here. Come make the show Saturday night, October 7th. It's going to be fantastic.
Come drink with me.
Yeah, come drink. Excuse me. Come drink with Jed.
Probably be in the audience drinking.
Yeah. So. And you can meet Mom and Pop Romero.
That's right.
And all take turns judging me. So without further ado, let's get into the actual episode of the IndieCast After Dark.
Is she there, or is she trying to get
Welcome to the IndieCast! For the last 4 years, bringing to you pop culture, professional wrestling, and a splash of crass. Now your hosts, Chad and Shelly Allen, Zach Romero, and Luna Lynn. This is the IndieCast.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome once again to the IndieCast. Chad Allen, Zach Romero, and a guys only allowed After Dark episode, a Sausage Fest episode. No guests this week. We've got a bunch coming up, though. So if you're looking for guests,
that's good.
Get ready. We got some. But this week, we're going to talk a little bit. I think we'd kind of mentioned in the pre-show stuff. We'll talk a little bit about Punk Pro a little bit more if you'd like, just to help put that over. But I do believe ultimately what this episode was going to be about was you wanting to go all hardcore news anchor on
That's
me.
That's true, yeah. We're
going
to be going to
something I did this weekend.
We're going to be going to Funkland here in terms of really talking park stuff. So this past weekend, Mr. Chad Allen ventured off to the great city of Orlando.
Yeah.
And got to experience a night of Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
First time ever setting foot into Halloween Horror Nights.
Excellent.
I've been to Hollow Scream,
okay,
which is up the street here at where I live at Busch Gardens in Tampa, but I've never made the trek out to Halloween Horror Nights, and I had some friends that were willing to hook me up and bring me along. So, and when you offer me free tickets to just about anything, I'll show up. If you have a mail review of Australian, you know, hunks swinging their hogs, I'd probably go because it's free. But this was something that actually...
It's called Thunder from Down Under, and it's in Las Vegas. I believe it's at Excalibur.
They tour around sometimes, too.
You would know.
So,
first time going
to
Halloween.
You knew the name of the show, though, so who's talking to who here now?
So, first time at Halloween Horror Nights. Now,
yes.
Now you mentioned going to Hollow Scream before.
Mm-hmm.
So, typically, how would you say... is your overall feeling about, like, haunted attractions or haunted houses?
Oh, I enjoy it.
Yeah?
I like it. I think it's a lot of fun. We've got story, you know, like, even back when I lived up in Maryland, there's a really great one out there that's called a Markov Haunted Forest that actually is done outdoors and through a forest area, which in, you know, up in Maryland where you actually get cool and enjoyable weather
instead of,
like, you know, hot, horrendous evil that, like, Florida still gets because we're this level of hell.
And nothing worse than waiting to go into a haunted house and you're just standing there sweating
with
in the
line
of
sweaty people, like other sweaty hands smelling people. But I love a good haunted house. Nobody else in this house does. So that's why when my friends Colleen and Colin are like, hey, we're taking
you were able to get out of Shawshank and go get spooked.
Yeah, exactly.
So to anybody who doesn't know, Halloween Horror Nights is a yearly event put on by Universal Studios. And basically, at around 6:30-ish, they close down the original Universal Studios park. Islands of Adventure still open for a little longer.
Till about 8, yeah.
And they use various sound stages and some line cues, and they build out these haunted houses that you can go wait in line and then go in and get the shit scared out of you.
Right. Which, for those of you that are used to seeing, like, your normal haunted house in, at your, you know, in your neighborhood.
Right.
Picture what would happen if suddenly there's a really large budget available to do it.
A large budget and film properties.
Right.
Because that's the major, and I want, before we get into the specifics of your experience with Halloween Horror Nights, I want you to tell me what your comparison is between Halloween Horror Nights and a Hallow Scream at Busch Gardens. Because Busch Gardens has a budget.
Right.
But no movie license.
Right.
So they have to keep things public domain-y.
Right. Or they'll, you know, it's like, hey, this is a... I know when I went to Hollow Scream one year, it was, hey, we have this, like, Vegas-type casino, and it's run by vampires.
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the ones I remember going through. Or, hey, we have this haunted toy factory.
Right.
And, you know, so that's how they
run
it.
But it's the difference between, hey, this is a Walking Dead house.
Right.
And Hollow Scream is,
right,
this is a zombie house.
Right.
Like, they have to keep it somewhat generic.
Yes.
So without going into, like, the breakdowns of each house... what is your comparison between Halloween Horror Nights and Hallow Scream?
I enjoyed both. Both are excellent. The one thing that weirded me out about Halloween Horror Nights versus Hallow Scream, and this is coming from my theater side here, I think, is that Halloween Horror Nights uses a lot of recorded footage because a lot of what they have to do is based off of, like you said, off of movie properties. So if I'm going into, for instance, they had a Shining house this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm walking into a Shining house, the idea is that I want to hear Jack Nicholson, playing Jack Torrance. That's what I'm expecting when I walk in.
True.
So you either get somebody who can do a really good Nicholson impression, which everybody has a bad Nicholson impression. Kind of like whenever we mentioned Dusty Rhodes on the show. Everybody's got a Dusty impression. Yeah. Whereas, though, because they don't have to worry about that at Hallow Scream, the voice actor, you know, the actors that are doing the parts are actually
freedom
to vocalize and kind of time it out to the line versus to the cue that they have to hit there. And that, for one house in particular, I had an issue with the way they did that. But otherwise, very similar setup, though. I mean, it's a huge queue line of people that are all, like...
marching doing in,
a,
single
right,
file.
Doing and, a big conga line
right.
through, you know, the horrors of
and
hell.
And truth be told, as much as I am a giant, you know, Universal fanboy, when you get down to it, they are basically the same.
Right.
Meaning, as much as there is a budget and there is pomp and circumstance to Universal...
Mm-hmm.
It is still just people in costumes
yeah.
jumping out and scaring the shit out of you.
Yeah, it's just...
So, it's not really, like, the theming
mm-hmm.
is different, I would say, night and day.
Sure.
The attention to detail might be different, but once you're in there,
yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's, oh, I was in the Child's Playhouse and the toys scared the shit out of me,
right.
or I was in the Haunted Toy Factory house and the toys scared the shit out
right.
of me. Once you're in the thick of it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the same thing.
It's all a big jump scare. Is
right.
all it really is.
So I don't want this episode to be just like let's shit on Hallow Scream.
No,
because they do a great job too. Shout out to Dave Boy working Hallow Scream. They do an awesome job. I almost worked for Hallow Scream in college.
I've had some friends that have worked for Hallow Scream. I've had a few friends that did Hallow
Scream.
Nailed
my audition. They did like some improv games
mm-hmm.
in the beginning, but the final test was they actually had a wall, like a flat built, that had trap doors in it. So like somebody would walk up and you would basically run you're going to open the door and spook somebody or say
right.
something scary or something like that. And so when it came to me, I had one where I had to slide like under, like there was a crash mat and I had mm-hmm. to slide underneath a door.
Right.
And I had nothing in my brain. Like I had nothing. I couldn't think of anything. And so guys walking and I burst through the door and I yell, get your prostate checked. And then, still got the audition, still nailed it.
Get your prostate checked. Why is that not on a shirt?
It's a scary thing.
That's right.
I like to scare people and give them something to think about. I really should.
I would love the picture of like a an actual sheet ghost type deal. So just a little word bubble says, "Get your prostate checked."
Like, oh, that is scary. Anyways, okay, so let's talk
about cancer is a scary thing. What can we say?
So let's talk about Halloween Horror Nights. So you showed up basically right as it opened.
We showed up probably about an hour before it opened, which really sucked because then it's just a matter of just like sitting there
hanging out,
like,
grab a bite to eat at City Walk, maybe?
No, because they very much wanted me to eat in the park. My friends wanted me to eat in the park. They wanted me to go to, they were really big and wanted me to experience Monster Cafe, which was excellent. And I even sent you a text from it at that point because, like, this is Zach Romero's fucking dream house right here.
Well, I own a piece of it. Of course you do. The Bride of Frankenstein piece that we have in our house, the painting. Is that from there? It's from a previous variation of the inner.
So they're constantly rotating that.
Every once in a while. I'm not going to get into like my history with Monster Cafe, but no, I love that place.
Yeah, I figured you would.
But again, though, okay. So
and surprisingly, not bad cost for the food there. By the way,
not awful.
They fed me well. It did cost me like $12, but when they threw in the milkshake on top of my burger and fries, I'm like, you know what, for theme park food, especially coming from Disney, that wasn't half bad.
Good. So Monsters Cafe, yes, excellent. Did you chuckle at all when you passed like the science fiction room, and they have the fucking tubes and the fucking mannequins from this island Earth?
Chuckle. That's where we ate.
Oh, fantastic!
that's where we stopped.
Because I love that it tries to present it as like, oh, it's a fucking classic, and it's like, no, it's Mystery Science Theater the movie.
Yeah,
actually,
it's a horrible fucking movie.
It's terrible.
But we definitely sat in there, and my friend Colin was definitely eyeing one of the ray guns, going, if this wasn't bolted down, I'd be walking out of the building with this fucking thing. So,
so good. Glad you got to eat them at the Monsters Cafe. So, what was the first? Well, did you run into Scare Zone or Haunted House first?
Well, at the time we walked in, because it's when the gates first open, they had a lot of the big characters out there right at the beginning to like kind of greet everybody.
Gotcha.
So a bunch of people from the Purge characters were out there scaring people with their chainsaws. The Jigsaw Killer in the pig mask was walking around. The twins from
The Shining
were out there. So they had a lot of that kind of going on at the beginning, right at the front. So though not an official scare zone per se, that's kind of what we walked into.
Right.
But then we knew for the most part we were beelining it. They had the American Horror Story one first.
Excellent.
And we probably skipped that because we were hoping. Well, here's the thing. Everybody walks in, so you've got hundreds of, probably thousands of people that are waiting to get in the door. They're all going to walk in and they all go
to the first house they see.
So, you know, American Horror Story being the first one in there probably had a 50-minute wait as soon as we walked in the door because everybody flooded right to that. So it's like, well, what's next? The Shining, which is one of the two houses I'm making a big deal about wanting to get into because I love the friggin' Shining. And me and Colin just made a beeline right for it and I think we were in it within 15, 20 minutes.
That's not bad.
Because we got it so early, but the queue line for that, holy God, I've never seen a queue line that, it took us 15, 20 minutes, was just like wrapping through the obnoxiously long queue
line. Because they have it built so that when there's 2.5 hour wait, it's still going to be 45 minutes because they've made enough room.
Right.
But exactly. The issue is when you're there early, it's a huff to get there, and you're like, gee, can I not get, like, the emergency?
Can I just jump through this one now? But no, yeah, so, so we started with The Shining.
Excellent.
Which was excellent.
Good.
Very good, especially for a lot of what they did for setting. Setting made me very happy on this one here, because when you walk in.
And let me tell you, this is why I'm so excited to interview about this, because we are both theater fags.
Right.
So I know that you would, of any person to go,
right?
I knew you would have an eye for detail for those kind of things. Because there are people who go there to just drink and have people jump out and scare them and then get back in line and try to punch them.
Right.
That's what, there are people who do that. So for you
and
to go
I
in and
into
go.
A bunch of them, don't worry.
And go, okay, let me see, like, how is this measuring up as the Overlook Hotel? Like,
right.
Let me look at the details here.
When you walk in and they immediately, like, the first thing you see is, like, the outside area with the trimmed topiary bushes for the maze with a big map of the maze there and snow falling as soon as you walk in, I'm like, yes, this is what I was looking for. And then going through the house, my biggest complaint on this house probably is you have a lot of, obviously it's no surprise here, there's a lot of different people playing the same character.
Right, because there are multiple jump scares.
In multiple locations. So every person in here, you have a bunch of people that are dressed up like Jack Nicholson from this movie. So you actually, what you have is a lot of kids who are playing Jack Torrance and are all wearing these weird, like, Jack Nicholson half wigs that I can't
Because I gotta get the hairline in.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was one of my biggest, I think my only problem with that was, is like, they couldn't have come up with something better than, like, this kind of easy to catch half wig.
Supposedly, there were two options, and they split it up amongst states.
Okay.
We got the wigs.
Right.
California got a full mask. And apparently the full mask is not doing any favors.
Okay.
Like a full rubber mask.
Okay, yeah, that,
so
that would be too
we
much.
Got the wig, they got the full mask.
Okay.
And I've heard that that's worse. So.
Okay, so I'm glad we got the wig then.
Yeah.
Definitely caught me a couple times in that one.
Walk me through this here. So,
okay.
So you start, and it's the outside of the hotel.
Right.
And you go in. What's next?
You go in, and God, I'm trying to remember. You're going to ask me to remember the whole ride, or the whole walkthrough.
You don't have to walk me through beat by beat, but what were some things that scared you? And what was something that surprised you that they actually did?
It surprised me that they actually did. Old naked woman.
Really?
Was not expecting that in the least.
No way.
Point, she peeked out of behind a shower curtain, and I'm like, oh my God, they actually referenced the old naked woman. And then I came around the corner,
and there she was.
She actually ran out. And I was like, oh my God. But she ran out and ran back real quick, so it didn't like...
You didn't see like didn't really booby see or anything.
But holy crap, it was like, I don't believe they did that. And I was gobsmacked through most of it off of that right there.
I also have heard that the guy in the bear suit is in it.
The guy in the bear suit is definitely in it.
That's amazing.
The guy in the bear suit was also walking around outside later on, too, which I thought
that's
was
amazing.
Hysterical. But the guy in the
was
bear
he
suit
holding hand with like a stuffy looking businessman?
No, well, amazingly enough. But the guy, so the guy in the bear suit was definitely in there.
Amazing.
Obviously, Jack Torrance is all over the place, just
of course.
Chewing on scenery. A couple shots of Shelley Duvall's character, obviously
good.
Freaking out, including holding onto a baseball bat.
Good.
Now,
is it every time Jack Torrance shows up, is it just, here's Johnny, or is he actually using other lines?
He's using other lines. They definitely hit a whole section, though, that was the here's Johnny bit, because as you walked farther and farther, they had another door that was more and more beaten up. And
then interesting.
And then he, like, creeped out at one
end,
point
yeah.
from there at the end. They had the son on a bike at one point, but it wasn't an actual kid. It was just like him, like sitting in the hallway. They had the twins, obviously, at one point. That's a little hard to do because you can't hire kids for this. So you just found the two youngest, like 19-year-olds, you could to do it.
Right.
That's a little off-putting. You leave out again in the coming out through the snow and everything, which I thought was
awesome.
Like a great like
was there
to it.
Was Scatman Crothers there?
They had the gold room. Let me try to remember. They had the gold room scene.
Good.
I don't remember Scatman Crothers in there. No, I don't
really
me about that. But that's actually one of the scenes that scared me though was the gold room scene because
really?
At one point they had. You know, they have Jack Torrance out on the bar. They've got the bartender back there talking to you. And at one point, the lights flicker and the scene changes. And what I thought were models, like, because obviously a few
it's
things...
It's a very fancy room, yeah.
...are just, you know, mannequins, statues.
Right, statues, yeah.
Two of them moved, and I wasn't expecting it because I thought they were mannequins. And that made me jump, and I went...
That's awesome.
And I actually applauded them on the way out because I'm like, great job, you friggin' got me on that one. I did not see that. But yeah, that was the one I was like, I wanted to, but it was like, okay, I can go home now. That was what I really wanted.
Did they do the elevator full of blood?
No.
Surprise.
I don't know how
surprising
they would be,
and not surprising.
How would they do it? Though,
yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah. There was no way they would have been able to, like.
And again, that's not a, much like the girls, much like the twins, how do you make that a jump scare?
Right.
Like.
Yeah, the girls were just there. Come play with us.
Oh, I'm creeped out.
And
like,
that's
it. Yeah. Like, Yeah.
But, great one. And like I said, and thankfully because we got there early, I think we lucked out on that one because we got through that one pretty quickly.
Well, not only that, though, if you get there, that was your first house. Right when it started. Everyone's excited.
Right.
I mean, actor-wise, everyone's excited.
Right.
Everyone's on their A-game. You go at the last house of the night, like, sometimes people are tired. Sometimes, you know.
Though the last house we went into, and we'll jump to that later, was one of the better ones I went in.
Good.
So I told
the story a year ago
of
I was the last person in line to the house at the end of the night, and that was horrific because then it doesn't matter how tired the actors are, they ain't going home until someone shit their pants.
Right.
Like, so then everyone's coming after me, one right after another,
like hardcore.
Sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going above and beyond. Just to make sure that I'm pooping them before right. I leave. All right, so Shining, great. How would you rate that on a scale from like 1 to 5?
So we went through 4 houses that night. That was we'll give that a good 3.5 because that was probably the second best house I went to that evening.
Excellent.
So from
and just I feel like it just gets points just because holy shit, it's a Stanley Kubrick Shining house.
Oh god,
and they gave a shit about the
right. Oh,
details.
Yeah, like I said, the set, and like you said, everything.
Do they have the carpet? Like, was the carpet?
Yeah,
oh, good, good, good.
So,
if I'm working there, that's the only year I'm working, I'm getting fired.
Right.
Because you damn well better believe
you're taking a piece of that carpet.
November 5th, when it's over for the season, I'm taking a piece of that carpet home. There's no way.
But, so we went from there, we walked through to, we walked through one of the scare zones. They had one for a movie, surprisingly, I've never seen. But the scare zone was excellent. Probably my favorite thing was Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never seen the movie before. I
excellent.
Know the character.
Right.
I've seen the little, I guess, Sam character. Yeah. So I knew what to expect on that one. But the way they've got it set up is when you come down this street area, there's trees overlining, you know, kind of as an overhang to this entire area. Well, they've put thousands of pumpkins like lit up into it and it was
the greatest visual,
just amazing visual. And then walking through it, they've actually set up like doors to houses that there are people there where you can like knock on the door. They've got people that are there like trick-or-treating in these weird costumes. There's 100, and I'll probably use one of them to hype this stupid show when we get up there. But yeah, great setup all the way through, and you know, having the little Sam character running around, and all these people in these really kind of, it's like when you see Halloween costumes from like the 50s, where it's like, well, that's creepy as hell. That's kind of what it was like through all of that. That was a lot of fun.
Now, was that one, although it's a scare zone, was that one focusing on jump scares or no?
Not as much. That one was a little more creeping up to you. And they had a few people that...
Because the reason I ask is, when I went the year prior, there was an area right in front of what used to be Earthquake. And it was like a drive-in theater.
Okay.
And it was like fog machines and things like that. And they just had a shitload of characters that they had basically the movie rights to, but hadn't come over the house yet.
Okay.
So there's a Stephen King's Carrie walking around. There's a Freddy Krueger walking around. But nobody was scaring anybody. It was almost like a selfie area.
Right.
Because like you could go and take a picture with Freddy or whatever.
Right.
And nobody was like trying to jump out or scare the shit out of anybody. So I'm curious if this was like that.
Same situation.
Okay.
Is kind of what you're doing. That's more of a, hey, can we take a picture with you type area.
Right.
That, what you're talking about, definitely the Purge Zone.
Oh, really?
The Purge Zone, there were definitely people that were there to try to scare the shit out of people.
Yes,
they
okay.
They were going hardcore on trying to scare people on that one. So,
because that used to be the norm. Every scare zone was just that. Was just, we're just going to keep the pressure on you and keep scaring the shit out of you. It wasn't until, you know, a year or two ago that I went where I was like, I'm going in tense. Like, I'm expecting that everything's going to scare the shit out of me. And everyone was super cool and just walked around and just posed for pictures. And I was like, okay.
Trick or treat, they had a couple people that kind of like snuck up on people and did that, but not much. Same with, they had like an alien invasion zone. That's very much they had a few people that were kind of trying to walk up and scare you, but for the most part, that's a lot of like, you know.
They're taking pictures.
Yeah. It's like, hey, can we get a picture with the crazy alien? Sure. And then and they would do it. But the Purge area and the clowns, definitely when you get over into, like, Simpsons land.
Right.
were definitely out there. The clowns were out there to scare the shit out of everybody. They were
jokes on them. Giant boner was knocking shit over when you walked over there.
Please, like, are you kidding me? I have a picture with. I think I maybe missed one clown, and when my friend Colleen goes, well, do you want to get that clown? He was legitimately with a chainsaw chasing like three girls, like straight hard running chasing. Fine. I went, he's busy. We'll catch him. We'll catch him next time. I don't want to interrupt him.
He's in the middle of something.
So.
Amazing.
But from there, from Shining, we ended up going over to the other one I wanted to really see, which was Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Very nice.
Which was basically, if you've seen the series at all, was basically the first season was this house. Basically just the first season. And it was pretty much spot on through hitting a lot of the high points of the first season. Like, there's a big fight in his trailer with this...
Smart.
This old woman, and that's pretty much the whole opening of the house.
Nice.
This is the one I'll have a complaint on.
Okay.
Because this is where where I almost wish they were voice acting it instead of trying to lip sync to a soundtrack, because there was definitely a couple of the Ashes that were not hitting their cues, which then immediately takes you right out of it.
Because it's out of sync.
Right, because now you're out of sync. And that bugged me a little bit. And I even remember saying something to my friends when we came out of that one. It's like, why don't they just voice act this then if they can't hit those cues? And it's like, this was probably my least favorite of the grouping, which was the sad part on that one for me, because this is the other one I was looking forward to. It was still, a good 2.5, so it's right in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
But because the voice acting put me so out of it, I was like, the setting was great, the
details and stuff.
The details were nice, were good, but yeah, that was my one complaint on that one. So, but they handled it well, and the setting walking in too, because they had like his car out there, and they had a bunch of smoke coming from it and stuff like that. They definitely had fun with it.
That's good.
But yeah, not the best one that I dealt with from there. So, I'm trying to remember where we went from there. And it was raining most of the time too, which sucked, by the way.
That does suck.
Because we were trying to hit the...
Because the only thing worse than standing in line waiting to get in a haunted house and it's 1,000 degrees is standing in line waiting for a haunted house and it's just a downpour.
Right. Because
we did that too. Which, however hilarious, we were waiting to go into the Jason versus Freddy house.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a staff shift.
Nice.
So getting to see a parade of Jasons and Freddys all with, pajama ponchos on, looking like it was just going to be the cutest little, pillow fort was about to be made when they all went inside, that was entertaining.
But, the one reason I was mad about the rain was simply because they had a... They've got... And here's where us being theater geeks really falls into play here. Have you ever heard of the... I'm going to try to remember. It's the League of Villains, I believe is the name of the grouping. It's a dance troupe.
Yes.
That's how sad it
yes.
is. They actually have a show
mm-hmm.
at Halloween Horror Nights, and they're amazing. I've seen them before on, So You Think You Can Dance and stuff like that. And the one show we were able to, we can sit here and watch this, we had to skip it because they, the stage is too wet, we can't do the show. But then waited until, we were 20 minutes away, and then started doing the show because it's like, oh, it's dry enough now, go ahead. And it's like,
son of a bitch.
So, we missed that. So, from there, we wanted to try to get over to Bill and Ted's Excellent Halloween Adventure.
Because this is the last year they're doing
it. It is indeed the last year they're doing it.
Which has led some people to believe that they're going to tear down that whole stage.
Oh, I can... I have heard rumor that that is indeed the case, that they're probably going to tear down that whole stage. I cannot confirm totally or deny that, but let's say I've heard on a good source that that's probably the case.
I will shed no tears.
Yes, I didn't figure you would. Because, otherwise that's used for...
Fear Factor,
which...
A show that hasn't been on the air in 10 years.
Right. Have you gone to the Fear Factor show at all?
No, because I've got dignity and better fucking shit to do.
Now, here's a better question. Have you been to the Bill and Ted show at all?
Years and years and years ago.
Okay.
I haven't been since.
What do you remember about it? Because
it's just a cavalcade of... it's basically like the year in review. Whatever pop culturally had happened that year.
Okay.
They were making, Star Wars is really big. Oh,
right.
It's Chewbacca. Fuck you. Whatever.
Right. Did they usually take the opportunity to try to eviscerate another park that just happens to be up the road
yes.
from them?
Yes. So, it was usually year in review and fuck you, Disney.
Right.
That was
okay.
basically
so
every year.
That was a normal thing.
Yeah.
Because there was definitely the show opened up with somebody coming riding out playing Sean Spicer, but it wasn't them playing Sean Spicer. It's definitely the McCarthy version from Saturday Night Live, version of Sean Spicer. You know, they did a lot of that. But then there was a couple scenes where I'm sitting there going, well, this is just your chance to, like, give a big middle finger to Disney, who you know is up the street, because they took a huge poop on Moana, talking about how the lyrics were horrible and the songs were stupid and the movie was bad, which I don't agree with.
I'll say, did you stand and go, fuck you?
Yeah, I thought about it. And then they had another part, which did make me laugh, though, which I kind of agreed with on that one, was they had somebody come out dressed like somebody from Avatar and talking about how somebody around here opened up a bunch of rides for a movie that nobody gives a shit about.
Which
that actually is true. Yeah. So, but yeah, I since I didn't know anything about it walking
in. You didn't have any context coming
in. I'm like, what's, okay, so really Bill and Ted is a thing still, eh?
Right.
You're going to make fun of Avatar?
No, it doesn't matter.
You're going to make fun of Avatar, but you've got a Bill and Ted show that's been running since, like,
the movie came out?
Right.
Like, which would have been, what, 94?
Right.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it had some, don't get me wrong, it had some funny moments, and then, you know, obviously, hey, we're going to bring in a bunch of half-naked dancers and stuff. Well, okay, cool. I'm cool with that. You know, bring on the partial nudity. No big deal for me. But yeah, it was just fucking odd because I'm like, what am I? I don't know what I'm walking into.
Here's the thing, yeah. Like in terms of Bill and Ted, they're just a canvas to be painted on. They're not, like, very rarely are people there like, yeah, who wears the George Carlin stand-in? Like, no.
Yes, he was no George Carlin.
Yeah, no Rufus. No justice for Rufus.
Rufus did send a text at one point asking them to come back to 1991 because they had to change the timeline because death was going to have to kill everybody unless they could prove that there was some sort of culturally relevant reason to let everybody live. And that's, of course, their canvas for then mocking, like, everything, like you said, over the past year, pretty much. Moana and, like I said, Avatar at Disney, which was their big ones. Oh, God, I'm trying to remember what else they did. They had so many things. Rocket Raccoon made an appearance at one point. You know, there's a lot of shitting on Disney now that I'm really looking back, because that's a Disney product, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it was cute. It would be the best way I could describe it. It wasn't like
it was harmless
said,
fun. Like, right, whatever.
Like, would I go back next year if they were doing it? Yeah, maybe, just to see what they do. And they did have a kind of nice video at the end, because it's the last year of shots from previous years and stuff they've done. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but again, I have no
context
at all. It's like, okay, that looks like that could have been funny. I don't know.
Oh, Obama, great. Right. Like, okay.
And God forbid it's not like, you know, like Disney lets you film friggin' everything when you go in there. They're like, don't film it, don't take pictures, don't look at the actors directly in the eye, don't, you know. So it's not like I can go back and go on YouTube and watch previous shows or anything. It's just gonna, it's gone with the wind now.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Unless they release a DVD, which nobody should buy.
No.
Because that would be a horrible idea.
So after that, what was the next house?
Well, before that, we ended up going to Men in Black, because I love Men in Black Pride. So,
quick story about Men in Black.
Okay.
Also on good authority, I know some people who work at Universal, and one of the things that they talk about is things that routinely come up with foreign guests to the park. Like, for instance, a lot of people who don't speak English as their first language, for whatever reason, they've all come up with the same terminology for what a roller coaster is. They don't come up, like, Chad, let's say you're working the front of the Transformers ride, which is a motion ride, you know, but on a track.
Right.
Well, a foreign guest wouldn't necessarily come up and say, is this L roller coaster?
Right.
They say, is this a woo-woo mountain?
Woo-woo
mountain is the, like, foreign equivalent of, is this a motion or roller coaster ride?
Amazing.
Is this a woo-woo mountain? So one of the things that I heard was somebody came up and asked where the Men in Black ride was.
Mm-hmm.
Men in Black Alien Attack. But how it was presented was, where is the ride where you ride the black man? And my friend went, excuse me?
I have videos for that.
Ride the black man alien zap zap?
Like, alien zap zap.
Ride the black man alien zap zap right this way, sir.
You should really make a design.
We've considered making a Men in Black Alien Attack t-shirt that says Ride the Black Man alien zap zap.
Because I would buy that second. No questions asked. Take my money.
I do have another odd Halloween Horror Nights story, though.
Okay.
Now, this didn't happen to me. This happened to a friend of mine.
Okay.
But one thing, as and this is a good lead into that, is any rides that are not, the lines are not being used for a haunted house, some of the rides still remain open at night.
Right.
And that used to fucking mean something, because they had outdoor rides.
Right.
So you got to ride them at night, i.e. you got to ride Jaws at night.
Right.
That was awesome.
Right.
Because that shit didn't happen.
Right.
So, friend of mine is waiting in line to ride Jaws at night,
mm-hmm.
and there is a Middle Eastern college student standing behind him in line who is alarmingly drunk. Like, alarmingly drunk.
I like the use of the term alarmingly.
And so my friend is talking with his friends, and this guy taps my friend on the shoulder. Yes? Hey, I heard what you guys were talking about. Which they were talking about video games or some bullshit. I heard what you guys were talking about. And he goes, uh-huh. Yeah, I'm not gay. Okay, great.
Good for you.
He's like, no, but you don't understand. I'm not gay. Great. Okay. So they get on the ride.
Right.
And of course, they're on the boat with drunky Middle East.
Of course.
And so they're going on the ride. You know, they're going through Amity. Shark is jumping up and scaring people. And so they get halfway through the ride, which is the boathouse.
Right.
Boat goes into the house. Doors close. It is pitch black in this boathouse. And then the skipper searches around for the shark. And then scary things start to happen. Things get knocked down. So, when you first pull in the boathouse, the skipper says, oh, we got to look for a place to dock. Is there anybody in here? And it gets quiet for a second. And then shit starts getting knocked down. Oh, there's a shark coming.
Right.
So, boat, silence, black boathouse. Drunken Middle Eastern college student starts yelling, hello? Is there anybody in here?
Amazing.
I want to fuck you! That's the greatest thing. And, like, the skipper was just like, okay, please shut up. Here comes a shark. Like that. But, is there anybody in here? I want to fuck you. Again, could have made an excellent Jaws shirt.
Yeah, there you go. I actually said part is I have a drunk story while I'm waiting in line.
For, amazing! Fantastic.
While I'm waiting in line for one of the other ones I went into, actually the next one I went on.
Perfect timing. It's almost like we choreographed this.
Yeah, which we didn't, but we went on one called, I'm looking it up again, The Fallen.
Okay.
Which...
Was this not a movie tie-in house?
The other two I went to were not movie houses.
Okay.
I actually skipped most of the other movie houses ones, interestingly enough, because they had an American Horror Story. Never watched it. Don't care. The Horrors of Blumhouse,
mm-hmm.
which I guess are all the, you know, like the...
All the movies that are basically the same.
Insidious and stuff like that. I've never actually seen any of them. Don't care.
Okay.
They have one called Scarecrow the Reaping, which is not connected to anything, and actually I've been told it's the best one in the park.
Oh.
And constantly had an 80-minute wait, so nope, not going to happen. and they had one for Saw... That by the time we got around to doing it, it was so friggin' late I wanted to go. And I'm like, I've seen the movies. I know what this looks like.
I get the idea.
The Fallen was like this weird, like, almost like ancient Egyptian type of weird. I don't even know how to describe this one. It was just, it was a little odd. But anyway, this was probably the third best one of the night, by the way. The one after that, Dead Waters, is actually probably my second favorite. But we'll talk about that in a second. Which is also not connected to an actual movie.
Got it.
But while I'm waiting in the line for The Fallen, we're, you know, big queue line.
Mm-hmm.
And we come around the corner, and this guy's friggin' wasted, and I can tell. And he looks at me, and he looks up, and he stops, and he's like, he gets really wide-eyed for a second. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Your beard is epic! How do you do that? I'm like, it's a beard. I just don't do anything. It actually does it itself. Thank you for that. Can I touch it?
Oh my.
You know what? Fuck it. Yes, you can, drunk man. Go ahead and touch it.
Yes, you can, drunk man.
So he comes up and he gives me just a little, like, just at the bottom. He wasn't going full stroke. He gave just a little bit. Oh my God. that's so soft. I'm like, well, yeah, beard oil and shit will do that. And I walked away. But that was my one drunk guy who was like,
made a friend.
I did make a friend. I made a fan, apparently. Right. I should have had IndyCast cards.
Right, exactly. Right.
If you want to hear about my beard more often, here's our podcast.
Now go ride the Black Man Alien Zap Zap and tell him Chad sent you.
And tell Chad sent you.
So anyway, the Fallen, weird Egyptian.
Yeah, I would have to look up almost how to explain this one. It was, like I said, it wasn't bad. I wasn't blown away by it. But we left that one, and the queue line for that and Deadwaters were right next to each other.
Perfect.
And they were both like 30-minute waits. So it's like, perfect. So we ducked into Deadwaters after that, and that was kind of like an old riverboat that had crashed and been taken over by like zombies and other creatures. That one was great. I had a blast in that one.
What was so good?
Just the setting, once again. A lot of times if you give me a really good setting, I'm happy as a clam on that instance. They had because they had like the whole front of the riverboat when you walked in and people jumping out on that.
That's fantastic.
They had just a lot of great like bad southern type of characters coming through. Nice. They had one guy that jumped out that I was dressed like fucking Colonel Sanders, and I'm
good.
Like, you get my fucking chicken, goddammit.
So bad.
You bastard. So, but it was just the way the whole setting was set up was really well done on that one. And that one in the Fallen, I'll give them credit. Not only were they doing side jump scares, which you get all the time, but the one good thing about the Fallen one before that especially was they did a lot of stuff over your head, too.
Very cool.
Which was very cool. They had people, like, flying over you, which I thought was a lot of fun, too. So
one of the coolest effects I saw at one of their houses was when there was that Wolfman remake a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a house based on that, and they had their stunt guys with basically, like, bungees connected to their backs.
Yeah.
So they could jump and lunge at you in full Wolfman and, like, land and, like, growl. And then when they let go, it, like, retracted them back. So that was a very cool effect.
The other one I heard, did you go the year they did American Werewolf in London?
Yes. And it scared the living shit out of me.
My friends told me that they actually pulled off the transformation scene in the haunted house and said they actually did a pretty damn good job of it.
They did a lot of... Well, okay, so interesting to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going, well, we've got these sound cues they got to be on the mark for.
Right.
Instead, it was, we've just got some robots in here and they're going to look nightmarish. So... during the transformation scene, you literally just walk in a room and boom, he's just there on the floor.
Nice.
And the top half was the actor, and the bottom half was the robot. And so, like, the legs would stretch out and stuff like that.
Nice.
But that house was so no-joke scary that I stopped being a willing participant of the conga line. Because, like, two rooms in... and things are just scaring the shit out of me. So every time you would walk into another room, I'm already yelling.
Right.
There's nothing jumping out yet. I'm already yelling. And I'm just looking around the room to find where the thing is going to jump out. And in many cases, it would jump out from where I thought it was going to jump out and would still scare the shit out of me.
You know, the best jump scare I got this entire time was actually on that deep water one.
Oh, yeah?
Because I'm watching the people in front of me,
of
obviously.
Course.
Because I've got a couple of young girls.
You have to pray to God you fall out of sync, that they're not going to jump at it. They're like, ha-ha, it's in front of me,
well,
you fuckers.
Well, here's where it got me, because it was really funny, because I'm like, ha-ha, I see you jump out here to the left. So now I'm watching the left. I'm like, I see you, fucker, but I didn't realize there's somebody at the right, and he jumped out at me from here. Shit myself completely. It was just like, just feces right there.
So, well, with the American Werewolf London house, the first scare of the house is you go through the bar.
Right.
And... that right before you leave the room, there's a little, like, dumbwaiter.
Mm-hmm.
And it opens, and there's an animatronic of just the head of a wolf. Just going apeshit. And I can see it. Oh, no. And so I come around the corner. Scurry, scurry, scurry. I'm, like, stuck in the doorway. I can't get in the next room yet. The line's not there. But I'm pushed up against it, so, like, I can't see the head. But it is a foot behind me.
Right.
And it is screeching and thrashing, and I don't even see it, and I'm still getting the shit scared out of me. Because I know it's close, and it's making a lot of spooky noises. So what would you say is your best, then?
Well, favorite house-wise is Shining.
Okay.
Far and away. My favorite part of the entire time, though, interestingly enough, not a house.
Oh?
And I've never seen the I've never seen these movies either, by the way. Now I want to. They did a great job of making me want to see these movies based off of the scare zone I was in. That Purge area was phenomenal. Really? The Purge area was phenomenal. They've got the costume spot on from what I've seen. They've got the people walking around. They did the full announcement with the siren.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the second the siren went off, like before the siren goes off, you've got all the people that are still out there walking around in the costumes and the masks they're carrying, their weapons and all stuff like that. As soon as they did the announcement and the siren finished, you heard about a half a dozen chainsaws all kick in all at once.
Oh, Jesus.
Then they started up all their chainsaws. And they've got guys on motorcycles that are riding through it. They've got this big, white cargo truck that's just driving through the streets of this area. They had one part at the end where they had a stage set up where they had what looked like hanging bodies from that with people in the mask just beating them with weapons. It was the creepiest thing ever. And I was sitting in there and I was just in awe. And if for those of you that may have me on Facebook that are listening to this, there's a shit ton of pictures that my friend put up of me stopping with like every Purge person I could find that would stop and take a picture with me because I got so into that.
That's
whole
amazing.
Area. They had like a street sign up that, like the big light up ones you see with like, you know, left lane car.
Right,
That said, like purge making
purge an effect.
It was just
that's
spot
amazing.
On the way they handled the whole thing for that Purge area. And I was, like I said, I've got some, me and a friend of mine now are definitely like, we need to sit down and watch this movie.
Right.
No, United We Purge. That's what it said. And actually, here's the, maybe this will be the one that I'll use for it. But yeah, that's legitimately what I'm. What I'm dealing
no,
with.
No, I'm so glad that you were, like, blown away by that.
Yeah,
that's
that
amazing.
One, that whole, like I said, and I think you've seen the movies, right?
Yeah.
And you said, skip the first one, but the second one.
First one is too, they introduce a brilliant concept.
Right.
But they focus it in, like, a macro scale.
Right.
Like, they're like, oh, the Purge, so anything is legal for 24 hours, so we're going to watch one family deal with, like, five hoodlums.
Right.
That's nice, but you've introduced this amazing concept.
Right.
Like, that would be like, you know, here's the concept. Any flavor of ice cream you ever want. But the first movie is focused on rainbow sprinkles.
Right.
That's cute. There is way more to get into here.
Right.
And so the other movies go much more into, like, what does this mean?
Right.
Like, what if the world's allowed to go apeshit for a night, what does this mean?
Right.
So, yeah.
But yeah, but like I said, that Purge area.
That's amazing.
Mwah. Oh, beautiful. They had a bus with a stage on top of it where people were actually giving like these kind of quick speeches. And
amazing.
Oh, yeah, so good. So good.
The coolest effect I ever saw in a scare zone at Universal was they had a they had one up towards the front, like if you're walking towards where the mummy is.
Mm-hmm.
And the gimmick wasn't great. The gimmick of the scare zone wasn't great. It was basically just, we're going to rip off Mad Max. But it was like Acid Town, basically, where like acid rain had come and just wiped everything out.
Okay.
But the thing that was really, really cool about it is, for no fucking reason at all, they have an old Macy's building there in like what they call like the New York District of Universal, right next to the Mummy. It just sits there. It never opens. It's never a store.
Right.
Nothing happens there. It's probably just storage, if I had to guess.
Right.
But they had a...
It's just the excuse that they used to do the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade.
Basically. So, they had a projector that shone top to bottom on the entire Macy's building.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like the Macy's building.
Right.
But, every few minutes or so, because the acid rain had eroded enough, they had an effect where the whole building collapsed.
Wow.
And so, basically, when the projector showed it, the whole building would collapse and it would just be dark.
Right.
So it looked like
it was
the whole building ate shit. And it was the coolest effect to see up close, but the rest of it was like meh.
Right.
Visually, though, I agree with you. They've done the jack-o'-lantern pumpkin patch in that same area right by E.T. every year forever. And it is the coolest fucking looking thing.
And like I said, I remember being like, that's one of the couple times, like I said, especially with that and just the overall setting for The Purge where that made me go, okay, that's pretty cool. And it's kind of funny that the part that got me the most were these scare zone areas and not necessarily... Like, don't get me wrong. I said the Shining one was excellent. the ones we went through, they're all good haunted houses. They're not, they weren't, you know, obviously they've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars they've spent on doing these houses and stuff. And I'm sure some of the other ones were amazing too, but yeah, like I said, the best part of it for me were those.
I went to a Saw house before, back when the movies were still actively coming out.
Right. Well, and they are again.
They're coming again, but, and I was impressed with that because they had, you had the actors reacting to sound cues.
Right.
But it was broken up into small rooms.
Okay.
So basically Jigsaw had, like, all of these victims in individual rooms.
Right.
With big clocks that were counting down.
Nice.
So you didn't have to worry about, like, oh, they missed their mark, because there wasn't necessarily the jump scare element to it.
Right.
It was more of a tension building thing.
Right.
So, for instance, they had a girl, and she's sitting in a chair, and she's got the bear trap on.
Right.
And the clock is ticking down, and, like, there's a strobe light in there, and she's going apeshit, and she can't get it off. And when the clock went down to zero, the strobe light's going super fast. She's freaking out. Lights go out. You hear the bear trap snap shut.
Right.
And that scared the shit out of people.
Right.
So there was a lot of that. There was a lot of, like, we're building an atmosphere.
Right.
So, I really dug that, but that was years ago. Well, I have no idea how they're doing it now.
And they had a Saw house again this year. And like I said, sadly, I skipped it, or I could have told you a little bit, but that was at the point where it's like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning
now.
I'm like to go home sometime this century.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
So, you know, now that I know how creeped out you get in these, we have to go next year, I think.
Oh, I scream like a girl.
Yeah.
I completely melt down. I love them, though. Like, I genuinely, yeah. I enjoy them. Can't get Luna to go. Been trying to talk her into it. She won't go.
Why not?
She just, she's never been. She's never been to, like, a haunted house event. Has no interest in it. And I even told her, I don't know if you noticed this, but the Harry Potter area is a safe haven.
Yeah.
Because J.K. Rowling said, yeah, don't put any of that stupid shit in my park.
Yeah, no, and we took a little trip over into Diagon Alley for a little bit, and, you know, the dragon still breathing fire. And that's actually one of the cooler things, too, is watching the dragon breathe fire, like, late at night.
And not even that, though, but all of that shit's open. So it's like, and there's no one there because no one's there for that. Everyone's there, well, I gotta get in line to go get scared, where it's like, I'm gonna go get a fucking, you know, whatever, butterbeer ice cream.
Well, see, the funny part is, you would think there wouldn't be a line there, but damned if we didn't wait in the area where they normally sell, like, beer and butterbeer.
Oh, okay.
And waited in a little bit of a line to get that. Because they were, you know, because they were serving alcohol.
But that's true.
My friend Colin was like, why is there this much of a line here? Because even he said, usually when you come here now, it's
usually empty.
Crickets chirping.
Exactly,
But
yeah, still can't even get her to go for that, so, I don't know. So, but no, I love them.
There's no way in hell I'd ever get Shelly to go. So no.
And like I said, I love them. Terrible to go with my father, because if you're in front of my dad, he will push you into the danger.
Nice.
And if you're behind my dad, if there's anything hanging, he will whip it behind him to hit you. So, not good. So,
you made me think of a great story, too. So that Markov Haunted Forest I told you about.
Yes.
I am there with my friend Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Who is probably, I'm not tiny, he's probably about 6 inches taller and about 100 and some odd pounds heavier than me. He is not a small person.
We
used to call him Polar Bear because he's got, like, white hair, not dyed, it's just he's got really blonde hair that he shaves into a frickin', like, long mohawk. So this is, just picture this person here. And then we are also with our friend Kendra, who is, like, 5'1", maybe 110 pounds soaking wet. We are going through Markov's Haunted Forest. We are on getting close to kind of the second half of this. And at one point, while we're walking through this forest, a chainsaw goes off behind us. Because, God, they love the chainsaws in these things.
Very easy effect.
And Jerry and I, the two large, you know, men,
the muscle of the group,
who should be the protectors of the young lady that we have with us, both stiff-armed her and bolted.
Excellent.
It's like, take her, let us live.
The survival instincts kicked in there.
Oh, kicked in hardcore, and we definitely pushed the...
Well, the rounded out ending of My Father in a Haunted House is, we went to, years and years ago, we went to Halloween Horror Nights, there was a Freddy Krueger house, and so we're all walking through. And at the time, my dad was wearing those, like, little metal bracelets with little balls on them.
Yes.
And they were supposed to be like magnets to help your blood flow.
Yeah, whatever.
Bullshit. And it got hung up on some camo netting in line, and he got stuck. And, you know, all those flashbacks of I'm slowly pushing you into the danger, or I'm whipping body bags at you, whatever. We left him high and dry. Like, and he's screaming, oh my God! And then Freddy Krueger is going, oh, sir, let me help you. He's like, don't touch me! Like, just, we left him to die.
I love the fact that Freddy was like, oh, hold on a second. Like,
sir, please, yeah, you're going to tear down the whole goddamn
thing. I have knives, don't worry, we can cut that off.
Yeah,
you know who I would like to go to a haunted house with sometime? I want to see how we would react on this one here. I'd like to go with John Davis.
I feel like the creatures in the house would back off.
Would run away from John Davis.
They'd be like, well, I'm sorry, sir.
I
apologize. I thought you were somebody else.
That's actually the vision I want of this one. Either I want one of two things. I either want John Davis to be in a screaming mess, which I think is hysterical.
Right.
Or I want him legitimately, like you just said there, I want monsters to come up and him just to stop and stare.
No, I imagine, like, they jump out, bah! And he just goes, ha, 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 mm-mm. And they go, I'm so sorry. They back up. I my apologies, sir.
Let me tell you about why my Mario shirt has stamp holes in it.
you ever almost drown a man and see life leave his eyes? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Please, keep walking this way.
What? Now I've changed this around, though. I don't want to go with John Davis. I want to set up a John Davis house.
I was going to say, a John Davis haunted house where you just walk in a hallway, stop, and he's just sitting in a chair, just talking to people and scaring the shit out of them. There's no need for booga booga boo. It's just, let me tell you something real quick. Let me tell you about my life.
Let's talk.
Yeah. Five stars, scariest house you'll ever go into.
People just throw up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, did something jump out of scary? No, that man has led a terrifying life.
And he is glad to tell you.
He is very happy to tell you this story. Well, anyway, Chad, I'm so thrilled for you that you got to go and experience Halloween Horror Nights. Who knows? Well, maybe they're going to run till November, so that's maybe true. If we can figure something out, maybe we'll go record remotely.
If one of us wins the lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
Those tickets aren't cheap. So.
Yeah, the tickets aren't cheap, fast passes aren't cheap,
and that's the way
if you're going to run the gauntlet, which I've only done a handful of times.
Yeah, I can't see running the gauntlet.
Oh, it's a pain in the balls.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Usually, because even if you've got the fast pass, you still start making compromises by the end of the night. You're like, do I really need to go to this house? I don't even give a shit about
this.
And
it's not like the houses are all, like, in a line down one street. They're scattered
all over the goddamn park.
So you legitimately have to try to hike around the park
to
get through all of it. And that was, like, there was one of the reasons why by the time we got around to, like, you know, oh, Chad, you still wanted to sell a house? No.
Fuck you and fuck Saw.
I've left this park twice now because we have bounced all over the damn place. No, Saw can go. Don't worry, I'll go rent the movie.
No, I'll get the idea. So, Dread Pirate Roberts cuts off his foot.
I got it.
Well, anyways, thank you everybody for listening to this very spooky IndieCast After Dark.
That's right.
And like I said, hopefully, I would love to do a remote of the IndieCast at like Halloween Horror Nights or something like that. We'll figure something out.
We got to do that one still, and we still need to do.
Well, there's Screamageddon up by me, which might very well be like the Haunted Forest.
Yeah,
like, who knows?
Be.
So I'm supposed to be trying that out. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Let me know when you're going. Maybe I'll try to talk Jelly into letting me out for another one.
we'll see how that goes down. But nevertheless, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the IndieCast. As Chad alluded to earlier, we will be having plenty of guests here in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And for the missing ladies on the show, I am the sexually aggressive koala.
And I am Cocculus Maximus. And until next time, everybody, deuces!